There is no one holy like the Lord. Indeed, there is no one besides you, nor is there any rock like our God. Boast no more so very proudly. Do not let arrogance come out of your mouth. For the Lord is a God of knowledge, and with him actions are weighed. The bows of the mighty are shattered, and the feeble get on strength. Those who were full hired themselves out for bread, but those who were hungry cease to hunger. Even the barren gives birth to seven, but she who has many children languishes. The Lord kills and makes alive. He brings down to Sheol and raises up. The Lord makes poor and rich. He brings low, he also exalts. He raises the poor from the dust. He lifts the needy from the ash heap to make them sit with nobles and inherit a seat of honor. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he set the world on them. He kills the feet of his godly ones, but the wicked ones are silenced in darkness. For not by might shall a man prevail. Those who contend with the Lord will be shattered. Against them he will thunder in the heavens. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth, and will give strength to his king, and will exalt the horn of his anointed. Amen. Our Father, we thank you for this beautiful morning. Your name is highly exalted. We lift you up before all. We lift you up before ourselves and for the whole world to see. We declare, Lord, that Jesus is Lord. We declare that he died and he rose again. He died for our sins and rose again for our righteousness. We give you all the praise in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we have come this morning to receive insight and understanding. We trust that you have granted our requests as we made them. We give you praise in the name of Jesus Christ. And because of that, we declare as follows. That the Lord has given me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. And I'm being filled with the knowledge of his will, in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. As a result of this, I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I am pleasing him in all respects. I'm bearing fruit in every good work, and I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Now again, I incline my ears to his word. The word is entering my heart. It is giving me light and direction. It is healing me in every area, and it's making me more and more like the Lord Jesus, in the name of Jesus Christ. All right, the Lord is good. Let's take our seats. Hebrews chapter 12. Let's start from verse 14. It said, walk. Now, I'm using New Living Translation. Okay, of course, I switch once in a while. It said, walk at living in peace with everyone. It's something you do deliberately. And walk at living a holy life. For those who are not holy will not see the Lord. I heard this a lot when I was a young boy. Then when I got to university and I started learning the scriptures, unfortunately, it was twisted for us when we were teaching. It was watered down so that people didn't take the life of holiness as seriously as they should. And I think we should bear that in mind. This scripture is there just like it says. It says, without sanctification, no one will see the Lord, without being cleansed. It said, look after each other, so that none of you fails to receive the grace of God. Watch out that no poisonous root of bitterness grows up to trouble you, corrupting many. Make sure that no one is immoral or godless like Esau, who traded his best right as a firstborn son for a single meal. Now, please note that Esau. I'm going to talk about, if the Lord allows me, when I get there, I will get there. Talk about the spirit of the Edomite, this Edom spirit. We talked about it a few days ago. The Edom spirit. That's what it is. Verse 16. He said, make sure that no one is immoral or godless like Esau, who traded his best right as a firstborn son for a single meal. Now, the immorality of Esau and his life, if you look at it on the surface, it was like a good man. You have to bear that in mind. He was like a good man. But what the Bible was talking about here was deeper than that. It was about his value for spiritual things. The way he esteemed the promise of God. And that's what he called godless. Now, I was talking to my wife the other day, just analyzing some things. I said, this man in this particular group is the most godless person I know. Now, he lives abroad. He looks like a nice guy, straight looks. I said, but, I told my wife, I said, this guy is the most godless person in this group. Just of the way he talks. A lot of nice people are very godless. And please, let me beg young women especially, don't marry a godless man. Don't. Don't. I'm saying women because men generally are very insistent on godliness when it comes to women. You know, they sneak to church to go and look for a wife. They do. But women are the ones that get carried away by niceness. You remember them on their birthday. You bought them an expensive gift. You don't get angry with them. If a man ever gets angry with you, he has a problem. Absolutely. He does. How can you live and nobody ever gets angry? Which kind of? And he's a young man. You know, it's only old men that have gotten tired of being angry. If you have not crossed the age of 50, 60, you still should be getting angry once in a while. Seriously. Don't marry a godless man. I keep saying it. Being single is far better than being married to a godless man. A lot of godless people are nice. That's where I'm going. What I mean by being godless is simple. He doesn't have regard for spiritual things. Like I said the other time, he'll drop you in church. He'll go out of his way to drop you in church. But he laughs at spiritual things. Always mocking pastors. Like Pastor Delvan said, just by the small aside, please, all of you, educate people that not everybody is a pastor. Ndabuski is not a pastor. T.B. Joshua was not one. Don't lump the pigeon with the birds just because it's raining. Do you get my point? Because all the birds sought shelter. Now I said, pigeon and chicken. I wanted to say, not bread. Pigeon and chicken. You know, they're different. You know, I think now most billboards in Nigeria are filled with those who are not even born again. Please, know the difference between a motivational speaker and a pastor. And I'm sorry to say, many real Christian ministers have departed from their calling into motivational speaking. And don't get carried away. Many of us have become celebrities for nothing. But what I'm going is that you see this man, all these mocking pastors. When you give him a genuine one, he doesn't, and you are still following him. Why? Because it looks like he can give you a good life. You will hate that life. You've heard this story before. I mean, people take a bad thing and turn it to a nice saying, like they say, a cliche. That the money doesn't buy happiness, but it's better to cry in a Bentley than to cry in a keke. When you are crying, you won't know the difference. You'll be in a Bentley, it will feel like a tomb. In fact, that's when you will realize that a keke has open sides. And when they close the door in that Bentley, you feel like you are imprisoned. You know, because God has given you calmness of soul, you don't know problems. Do you know? I watched one video the other day. Somebody was analyzing something I know, really, not new, but I like the way he presented it. He was analyzing celebrities that have gone mad, including one guy that stripped himself naked. I was running on the streets in America. And a lot of them have done that. Now, people will take care of them when they calm down. They asked this guy, why did you remove your clothes? He said, it felt like a prison. The clothes. The very feeling of cloth on his body,
It was as if he was being imprisoned and choked. So he stripped the clothes to feel free. If you see the heroin addicts, when they have not taken their shot, if you touch their, you know, you all have hair on your skin. All of us do, all right? If you don't take anything of it, breeze blows on it. You use it to even sense there's breeze, all right? That's part of the, you know, wind is blowing. You know, you just feel, it moves your hair on your skin. When those guys are off their drugs, before they get the next shot, each movement of hair feels like a needle prick. No, that's why they will kill to get a shot of drugs. Life is suddenly up. See, if an ant drops on him, it feels as if you cut him. But you know when God has given you calmness or so, you don't understand. I said, that talking nonsense, like, it's better to cry in a Bentley than in a keke. My girl, you will be in that Bentley, you will be begging for somebody to move into a keke. After all, the fresh breeze will hit your face and you will know you are not in prison. Please don't talk nonsense. Somebody said, money can't buy happiness. Says because you don't know how to you don't know where to shop. Yeah, they twist it. Be careful of those things. When they take wisdom and twist them upside down, reject it. Don't even laugh. Say what nonsense. Laugh with like what rubbish is that and laugh about it. Okay, say money can't buy happiness. They don't sell it. There's nowhere it is sold. The only joy is in the Lord. Let people know the only joy available is in the Lord. When the Bible talks, describe Esau as being godless. He wasn't joking about it. But he was a nice guy. If you placed him there and placed Jacob there, you would prefer him to Jacob if you don't have insight. See, there's a prayer that God will help you to understand the things that are excellent, the things that are important in life. Please, let me just beg you. I'll get back to our reading and my message in a moment. Don't mock holy things. Don't mock holy things. The world likes to mock holy things. Don't laugh. When they start mocking holy things, don't accept. I'll get to the spirit of Edom if I'm already on it. In which people will tell you things like, is it prayer we need in Nigeria? Don't ever agree with that statement. They say, we have prayed enough. They say, no. Jesus said, men ought always. Don't ever accept in your heart. Don't accept stylishly. You may not say it, that we have prayed enough. We have not prayed enough. How can you pray enough when Jesus ever lives to pray? Is that what the Bible says? He ever lives to make intercession. And you are saying you have prayed enough. The people that have prayed enough, what have they prayed? The people saying they are not even part of those who are praying. They usually are not part. They are the commentators who decide. Now, we are not praying to you. You are not one of those praying. Yeah, you decide that we have prayed enough. How do you know? How do we measure it? We are not praying to you. You are not one of those praying. But you know the truth? You despise holy things. Please, there is a curse of God on those that despise holy things. I'm preaching to Christians, don't join them. Don't join them. You know, one day, I just remember the story now. Went to visit somebody in one hospital that, like, not a patient, but a big man, my friend and I. So we sat in the reception. This is a long story. It just came to my mind now. The story I'm telling you is maybe around, if it's recent, is 93. Not later than 94. If it's very recent, it's 94. So it's a long time ago. I just remembered it. So while we're waiting, there was one lady there. She tied her hair the conservative way. She had a fat Bible. And you know something? She's not my kind of person. All right? No. And she had books. So she was talking to my friend and I. Her English was not fantastic. I mean, both of us were university graduates. We were both medical doctors, my classmate. I finished NYC, I remember. Or just before, around that period anyway, but we're university graduates. And she talked how God is leading her. I think she also came to see the same person we came to see. And that she wrote a book. And she offered us the book. I took. I think my friend took. I can't remember what happened, whether we bought them, the books. But was kind of, there's a temptation to laugh and feel a bit superior. But I remember very well. I said to myself, Banky, this woman has written a book, you have not. I went out of my way to show her respect. For one simple reason, she's a minister of this gospel. I may have been more schooled than she was. I may have been more refined. If we printed a book, it wouldn't look like that. But she has the book. The content may not have contained my kind of revelation. You know, I said my kind. You know, we came from a particular background. We felt we knew. I look back and I feel so bad that we didn't know anything. Yes, but we felt we did. But then God helped me. Instead of laughing, I just told my friend, she has written a book. I have not. And he knew I was a preacher. Like young though, so we took the book. I think we gave her money for it. And I just remember her now. But I went out of my way to show respect for what she represented. When I was coming from Port Harcourt, this was a few years ago. I mean, more recent. This one I'm telling you, maybe in the last 10 years. I was going to come by one of these bus companies. So I sat in the bus and it was raining. And one guy came in the rain, with his umbrella. Rain had let down slightly, but it was still raining. I mean, it's Port Harcourt. I mean, it should rain. Do you get my point? It was a rainy day. Everywhere was wet. So I sat in the vehicle waiting for them to move. So you know the way people selling things go from place to place. And he came. He introduced himself as a pastor, as a minister. And that he wrote books. He wrote a book and would like us to buy. I can't remember whether I read the book. I took it, asked him how much it was. Told me. I gave him money. He said, okay, let him look for change. I said, no, don't bother. I told him to keep the change. I did it for only one reason. I knew him to be a preacher. He decided to look for money by writing books and selling. I knew how much printing was done. Of course, you know, I mean, it's one of the things that we do in Kingdom Word. I knew everything. I looked at the quality of the book. I knew how much it cost him to print this if he did 1,000 copies. I knew, so I wasn't concerned about whether the price was good or bad. But I knew that this is my brother. His ministry. You can explain, my own is that he's ministering. He's not stealing. He has written the word of God down. You know, even after that, I wanted to call him back and pay for more and just take 2 copies. I didn't introduce myself to him. In fact, I was coming from where I went to preach. He doesn't know who I was. He didn't know who I was. But I just showed respect for his office. Very important. Don't join those who mock holy things. Never. They are clowns. Leave them. When you see a real minister of the gospel, even if he's poor, even if his English is bad, even if his books are poorly printed, show respect. Show respect. Don't talk to them roughly. Greet them. Good morning, sir. You're in a bus station and he comes to preach. Don't look like, I beg, I beg, I beg. No. Show respect. If he says, let us pray, leave whatever you are doing. And just be silent. If he prays off prayers, forgive him. You know, prayers like, as you are going, the witches will not see you. If they see me, do you get my point? That one doesn't concern you. Just smile in your heart. But let him do his prayer. Show respect. You are getting my point? Yes. You know, there's one guy in Enugu. Some of us here know the person. Tory friend, my wife, they know this guy. Do you know, he's a pastor of a big Pentecostal church in Nigeria now, in Oka here. Yeah. You know, he used to go to bus station. That's how he used to do his ministry. What I'm trying to say is that respect holy things. People tell you, America, they pray though. Till now, Donald Trump starts his cabinet meetings with prayer. Show respect for holy things. Like I said the other time, one ministry in Nigeria, Federal Ministry for Agriculture and Food Security, they asked, people were laughing, is that what we need in this country? Yes, that is what we need in this country. Those who are talking nonsense, you know, when you hear talk like that, you know those who have never done anything. They've never suffered unexplained opposition. No, you know, those who have endeavored, there are statements they don't make. Because they have seen, they have experienced unexplained opposition. They did everything right, something will just go wrong. What they don't know. Are we not supposed to harvest 100 bushels from this patch of land? Okay. Yes. How come we're harvesting only 25? You guys did not weed. Okay, check. We weeded. It's on camera when we're weeding. What about the insect control? We did everything. Pest control. Why is it 25 bushels we are getting? I don't know. Those who have experienced unexplained opposition, they don't go around, you know. It's not everybody that didn't become rich in life that's lazy. They have a saying in Western Nigeria. He said, the son that said his father did not make money. He said, it's your turn now. Come and make it. That is your turn. Shebi, is now you are not a big man. Oh yeah, now go. You will soon find out what your father went through. I can be there. You know, a lot of young people are angry with their parents. And what is the anger over? The man didn't become rich. Most men this life didn't become rich. And they worked hard. My point, respect holy things. I'll come back to it. It's a spirit of Edom. The spirit of Esau that does not respect holy things. And God has placed, listen to this, a judgment against it. Because if you see such a person, he will build, I will scatter. Let nobody tell you that God does not destroy. He does. We'll get back to it. The respect for holy things. I just trying to explain the reason why the Bible talked about Esau being godless. He was not a thief. No, he was not a thief. He was not lazy. He used to hunt. He was a successful hunter. His father could tell him, go and bring me stuff. He knew that Esau would perform. Which verse are we in? 16, right? He said, make sure that no one is immoral or godless like Esau, who traded his best right as a firstborn son, as his firstborn son, for a single meal. You know that afterward, when he wanted his father's blessing, he was rejected. It was too late for repentance, even though he begged with bitter tears. There's a time for repentance. The other night, my wife asked me, why does God not seem to answer people sometimes? I said, I don't always know the reason. But one thing I just know, let's be sure we have not missed the window of opportunity, the time for repentance. Call upon the Lord while he is near. Seek him while he can be found. No, but you know, preach the kindness of the Lord is good. But don't forget the severity. There's a second side of him. Jesus came the first time with all with his kindness. And he's coming next time, it's all with his judgment. Can you believe that you look at the Lord, I beg now, please now, and he doesn't listen? Some people don't believe it's possible. That was why the prophet said, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he's near. There was a time he pronounced judgment against Judah. Jeremiah said, even Jeremiah prayed, God said, if you like, go and wake Moses. If you like, call Samuel. I still will not listen. He said, look, I've determined this issue. It's in my righteousness. So tell them, the judgment has come. Everybody, the only, there's a little bit, his mercy, you know, he will find a little bit of it. He said, what is my mercy? Go into captivity for 70 years. Do you know the people that go and say, yeah, I'm telling you, Lord, please now, you say, Jeremiah, there's no problem. Let them all pack and follow Nebuchadnezzar. Follow the Babylonians. Anyone who subjects himself to my discipline by following the Babylonians, he will live. This land, now he won't see it again, unless he's very young. 70 years is what they are going to stay there. Jeremiah, there's nothing. Hey, by the way, Jeremiah, don't bother looking for anything for yourself. I need to build a house. Hey, you know what are you going to do with it? All of you, move. Jeremiah went around telling people, the time for that kind of mercy has passed. It's time for us to suffer the discipline of the Lord. The only way is to go into captivity. In fact, in Lamentations, you have to say that when they start slapping you, you say, don't fight the slap out. Say, sometimes, you know, when you're being punished like that, go and say, Kai, you don't suffer rich. You know the thing about the gospel then? Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God unto salvation. All right? Like I said the other time, why did he say I'm not ashamed? Because if you present it the way it really is, it's shameful. The Greeks do not like it. That's those who have wisdom. I look at problems in this country, here and there. If you were to tell people what God is saying, they won't agree. The painful part, even Christians. The painful now part, you know, even painful now, the one that's even more painful. Even ministers, teachers of the world, pastors, prophets, will not agree. There's a severe side to God. You avoid it by seeking the Lord while he's near. Call upon him while he's near. Seek him while he may be found. Esau didn't do that too. By the time he saw the consequences, he started crying. He said, what do you want me to do? Collect it back from Jacob? Who spent all his life pursuing it? Of course I can't do that. Sometimes when you see people do things, you know, these days, and you're learning to keep quiet more. When I'm not amongst believers who listen to my instruction, I try not to talk as much. Because people don't understand the way things work in this life. They don't. Many times, they help with like national issues. Say, relax. It's what is called the judgment of God. The more you fight it, the longer you stay there. Which verse are we in? Now, that's not the message. Okay, we're going to get back to some of those things. So Enoch went on to say, you have not come to a physical mountain, to a place of flaming fire, darkness, gloom, and whirlwind, as the Israelites did at Mount Sinai. For they heard an awesome trumpet blast and a voice so terrible that they begged God to stop speaking. They staggered back under God's command. The command was that even if an animal touches a mountain, it must be stoned to death. Moses himself was so frightened at the sight that he said, I'm terrified, I'm trembling. But what have you come to? And that's why I'm reading this. He said, instead, you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to countless thousands of angels in a joyful gathering. You know, we declare these things at the beginning here when we want to pray. Yeah, we do. The way we declare it here is that we enter into the presence of the Father, each one as a renewed child of God. We have not come in the power of the good works which we have done. We have come only because of the grace and mercy which we have in Christ Jesus. We thank the Lord for saving us. We thank the Lord for washing us clean. We have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. We have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly, to the church of the firstborn whose names are written in heaven. We have come to God, the judge of all. We have come to the spirits of the righteous made perfect. We have come to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks better things than the blood of Abel. We declare in the name of Jesus. I just wanted to go to that declaration for those who don't know it, all right? It doesn't show up a lot of times in our recordings, but that's how we declare anytime we want to start to pray. And this is where we got it from. Are you seeing that? I just wanted to take that declaration for the sake of those who may not know it and are listening to this. He said, you have come to the assembly of God's firstborn children, whose names are written in heaven. You have come to God himself, who is the judge over all things. You have come to the spirits of the righteous ones in heaven, who have now been made perfect. You have come to Jesus, the one who mediates the new covenant between God and people, and to the sprinkled blood, which speaks of forgiveness, instead of crying out for vengeance like the blood of Abel. Alright, the blood of Abel, of course, was crying for vengeance, but there are many other things that may have been spoken. But the blood of Jesus speaks things that are better than the blood of Abel. Now, please notice this. He said, you have come to the spirits of the righteous made perfect. I'm using the American standard there. Read King James, said, the spirits of just men made perfect. Please bear that in mind. The spirits of the righteous. The spirits of the righteous. You have come to the spirits of the righteous. There's something about it. He didn't say the righteous. He said the spirits of the righteous. I've been meditating about this for years. I think God is helping me to understand now. So this week, I just felt impressed upon to teach about it this weekend. Let's just give a panoramic view of that particular principle about the spirits of the just made perfect. Now, I'm not talking about the righteous themselves alone, but the fact that you have come to the spirits. You've come to what? The spirits. Notice the word is plural. The spirits made perfect. Now, how do I start this now? Having read this particular portion of the scriptures. So I have many things to say. My emphasis is on the judgment on the spirits. Okay, let me tell you what I'm trying to pass across. I want us to understand that there's judgment on the spirits. And each person, actually, you are a summary, okay, of different spirits that you imbibed. And you allow work through you. And each spirit you have has a judgment written. Each spirit you have has a blessing that has been determined. What you will experience in life is a reflection, or is an automatic consequence of the kind of spirits you walk by with. Please, again, I'll recommend the book. Someone is controlling you. You know, please read the book. It is not what you want to do that you really do. Even Paul said it. It is what the spirit inside you is dictating that you end up doing. See, in this life, your job, see, this is early morning in Enugu, right? We co-workers get here by past 7, by 7:15 we are praying. By 7:30 the meeting kicks off. On a Saturday. Now, where I'm going about is that you've left everything you had to do. That is the choice you have in life to determine how you will behave later. Do you follow my point? That is the choice you have in life. See, let me say this again. I see someone else in Sokoto a few weeks ago. You know, streaming is good. Streaming is good. If you are in, you want to join us, you are not in Enugu. You are in Abakiliki. You are in Makurdi. You are in Abuja. You are in Maiduguri. Of course, you stream. You want to listen to Kingdom Word. It's very nice. Or you are somewhere in Europe, and there are people who stream from UK, from Europe. Right now, in a place like New York, all right? We are like 5 hours ahead of them. So it's like 2 a.m., 3 a.m. now. There are those who wake up from there, I know. to stream. So I can understand that sometimes you have to stream. But if you're in Enugu and you make a choice to stream, it's a statement you have made to the Lord. Let me tell you, to drink the spirit of faith is not about whether you heard it or you didn't hear it. There's what is called hearing and hearing. God watches the amount of inconvenience you put yourself through to drink that word. I beg, I can't wake up early. I can't bathe. By just telling God, it's not so important. Exactly a week ago, my wife was not feeling very well. Maybe I think it's a cold or something. So, of course, we have to rise up early in the morning and get down here. And because most of us, of course, work every day, she leaves her house early every day. So when we used to meet in the evenings, that was when Saturday was her sleep late day. You get my point? Then because we used to meet by 5 o'clock. But now, it's because of the things you are aware of, we have to move to early morning. Because she wasn't feeling well, when I got up getting ready, I wanted to tell her, so please, just sleep. You understand? Get some rest. Then just join us online. All right? When I was to say it, I just said myself, what are you saying? She was not feeling well yesterday, Friday. She went to work. Thursday, she wasn't feeling very well. She went to work. Oh, it is time to come and hear the word that she's not feeling well will now become an excuse. I said, sweetheart, I know you're not feeling very well, but you went to work. Didn't you go? You went. You went the day before. Didn't you go? Yes. I said, so come, let's go and hear the word. She said she was planning to come anyway. She didn't even need me to say it. Because some of us don't know what we say to God. We'll make some choices. There was a time I wanted to do a program. Somebody told me that there was one international competition, maybe, I think football. And it was going to clash with the timing of our program. We said, sir, maybe we should start by 6 instead of 5. I said, why? World Cup finals is being played. Nobody tells me that anymore. This was more than 15 years ago. None of the men around me will open their mouth and talk that kind of thing. No, not now. I said, please, when is the kickoff time? Put the program at that time of kickoff. That is the one I want. For you to cross your mind that you can shift the time to hear the word of God because of some men who are doing... Now, you don't know how silly football is because you are into it. It's a rubber ball that 22 extremely healthy peak of their energy young men are chasing up and down and kicking into a space and deceiving themselves that they won. That is, they just kick it into an empty space. And they run up and down. Hey. And you don't realize how silly it is. No, you don't realize. Then I will shift the time the word of life is to be released. And now you know the funny thing about that thing? They do it all the time. They keep on inventing new tournaments. Like now, I heard of that recently. I said, when I saw Donald Trump, they said Donald Trump was taking picture like a small child with the people. I thought it was AI. I thought it was all these funny things. No, they said the Academy had a World Cup in America. I said, are you serious? And Donald Trump went to take picture with them. I said, hey. Sir Blatter tried to change World Cup, the nation's World Cup, to every 2 years. It's money. No, it's money. Then I'll shift when I'll preach the word of God. Because one guy that's been paid $1 million every 2 weeks has to earn his money. And a child of God doesn't have enough sense to know that his own destiny is at stake. They are chipping away from your destiny to pay that guy. I don't have anything against football, but please, don't even compare it. You miss church because you want to watch a match. God has just marked you. Esau.
Esau. Godless. You want to watch a match? You are not even allowed to go late. That let them just finish the match. No. You are not even allowed. I'm not talking about missing it. Say, hey, when is service? Service is 9. Okay. You know. So, as soon as finish finishes, now go and start rushing. Now get to church 15 minutes late. You have sinned. You don't understand your priorities. You know you won't miss a flight for it. If you are supposed to travel and they tell you, Enugu Air, what's the name of it? Enugu Airlines. Yes, Enugu Air. It's taking off by 7:30 and kickoff is 7:15. You won't even look at that 7:15. The kickoff, no. You have to be at the airport 45 minutes before flight time. Check-in closes by 45 minutes before flight time. You are lamenting and you are going. Some of you that watch match before exam, it's clear to you, you are not taking the exam seriously. It's clear. Because you won't do it for a flight. If they give you visa appointment. Do you get my point? See, these are the ways you tell yourself what you know is important, what is not important. These are the ways you tell yourself. I'm talking about the spirits you drink. See, that you got up like this morning, dressed up, you know, and came to sit down here for 2.5 hours is what opens your heart to drink a particular spirit. That's where I'm going. It's not knowledge you're acquiring. It's beyond knowledge. It's something you're pursuing. You're opening your heart to something. That's why I say, please read the book. Someone is controlling you. It's not you that's doing life. Oh. Are you getting what I'm saying? This life has more. You know, many people don't know where the control points are. Let's give this example. A control point is what you choose. Time to listen. Will you watch a match or you'll go and listen? You enter into a shop. 15 keys for effective business transaction. You know it's a worldly book. Now, I don't mean a bad book. Just it's a book of the world. It's not an evil book. It's just that it's flesh. It's human wisdom. He's standing there, and there's another book, Holiness to See the Lord. Both of them are by authors you don't know. All right? Or both of them are by authors you know. Good man of God, good business trainer. Each book is 2,000 naira, and you have 2,000 naira. You can only buy one. God is watching you to see the one you buy. Listen. He's watching you to see the one you will buy. Let me tell you, you have to show to the Lord that heavenly things are more important to you than earthly things. A lot of us, you know, we have treated heavenly things as if they are an inconvenience of religion. We don't say it, but we behave like that. It's what you do. It's not what you say. I was in my Malachi again yesterday night. And God told the priests, you have despised me. They said, how? Because they were praising with their lips. He said, check how you do your sacrifices. It's not what you say, it's what you do. God will say, okay, there are two. And he's watching you. Buy one. Buy one. Your heart looks like, man, I need to make it too. But your heart is speaking to you. The spirit, like I was telling you, are speaking to you. I need to make it. So you take the one. And it's not angry. You've just made a statement. Now let me tell you, every time you make a decision, you've made a statement in heaven concerning the kind of spirit you have. That is what God, you see, when my wife was asking me, why does God answer some, no answer some? I said, I don't know the whole answer. But before you But you see, because you open your mouth doesn't mean you have said something. Before then, your actions were speaking. Your thoughts are clear to the Lord. They are clear. It's not what you say. You know, the other day I saw one man, one of the best bodybuilders this world has ever seen. Let me not mention his name. Now, in fact, I was watching another guy, very good one too. This guy said he had won everything that year. He won everything. Every competition he went for. Bam! He had made it. So they were now going for Mr. Olympia. So he was so sure he will win this Mr. Olympia. So in the back, what they call it, is it dressing room? The backstage anyway. So the men, of course, they're going to compete. So they were removing their clothes, getting ready to go. And of course, it's a muscle thing. This was what he said. He said, this particular guy I'm talking about, okay? He said, when he removed his shirt, he, the champion, beating everybody that year, see, I shouted, damn. He said, I knew I was in trouble. This guy was, he said, when he saw the guy, he said, God, there's no way you are beating this guy. And of course, he didn't beat the guy. This guy won Mr. Olympia like 7 or 8 times in a row. Yeah, he kept on winning. Now, this is where I'm going. Now he can't walk. He can't walk. He's had 12 or 13 surgeries on his back. To walk now, he has 2 crutches. Of course, all the muscles are gone. You know, these muscles, they don't waste time. They go in a week. If you don't, 1 week. Of course, an older man now. He's much older now. They were not interviewing him. This is where I'm going. He said, man, you paid a lot. Because what happened was that the whole thing started one day was lifting weights. And he had, pam! So he thought somebody hit him behind. So he told the stranger, did you hit me? The guy said, no. Ah. The sound was so loud. So I thought he was motivating him, giving him a kick in the back. He said, no. So during the week, he now realized that he was having tinglings in his feet. Make a long story short, he went to the hospital. The doctor said, you bust your disc. It exploded. That's why everyone in the gym heard somebody's disc blowing up. The doctors told him that he has to slow down. Did he slow down? Like he didn't slow down. No, he did not listen. No, he didn't. They've done all kinds of operations on his back and his hips. Now he can just manage to. He has 2 walking aids and all of that. Why am I telling the story? They interviewed him. You paid a high price to get what you did. If you have to, as of now, he's living in pains constantly. He's in pains constantly. He's on drugs all the time to kill the pain. He said, given the opportunity, he will do it again. Oh, yeah. Thank you. That's I'm telling the story. With everything, God, he said to everybody, given the opportunity, I will do it again. That the glory that went with it, the glamour, the satisfaction, the build, even this all gone now, they won't exchange it for health. That's what he said now. So, God says, he prays, I don't listen, and you know why. So if he prays, Father, heal me, God says, why? You heard him say, I'm willing to sacrifice my health. So leave it. See, intercede day and night. God is not going to listen to you. He said, look at the man now. He just said, I will do it again. That's why I'm telling the story. So it's not just when you pray. There are things you are saying to God daily. It's not just when you pray. There are things you are saying to him every time. Each time you are acting, you are doing something, you are saying something. Tell my wife the other day, you asked after this person. Ah, she's not around. Where? She's in Europe. After this person, she's not around. Where is she? She's in maybe North America. This person, where's the husband? The husband here. The husband is in their house. Okay, so see, get my point. I don't have a problem with that. It happens. I mean, there's a missionary that Lester Sumrall said one of the greatest things that God will reward him for, all right, was that he allowed his wife, there were missionaries somewhere in Southern Africa, he allowed his wife go back to either US or Europe to stay with her father in the last days of his life for 6 months, and he was alone. The father was an old man, retired preacher. that God will reward him for that. So people make sacrifices like that. That's not what I'm talking about. There's only one thing I'm saying. When you and this man were together, you were suspicious of every woman that came around him. I don't know whether you're getting my point. Assume it's my wife now as an example. She's not like that. Just an example. That's why I'm greeting somebody. Don't reach up. Say, what were you greeting? Who are you greeting downstairs? So that is his sister Georgina now. Do I know her? Do you get my point? Every time, you know, you're always displaying what the Bible calls the spirit of jealousy. Then one day, you got a visa and you took your children and left me alone all in Enugu. Do you get my point? So you know what God is saying? Don't mind all that noise. It doesn't matter. That is, it's joblessness that was disturbing her. If it was so important to her, she wouldn't do this. See, there are statements you see, every time you make it, you do something, you're making a statement. That's the point I'm making. Each time you take an action, you're making a statement to the Lord. Before faith can enter into you, faith. Because, you know, before, I thought, we pray, we speak in tongues, then we confess the word. In the name of Jesus Christ, I thought that was what brought in the spirit of faith. I'm older now. I said, leave that thing. Abraham didn't do it. See, all these tongues you are speaking. I said, we're going to demonstrate. I said, come, do you have the faith of Abraham? No. Did Abraham pray the way you are praying? No. Does it have an MP3 player or a phone that we have this playing round the clock messages? Now, get my point. These are things I do. There are times we play the whole night. So I'm not against it. I do it till now. However, I keep on telling myself, did Abraham do that? Answer me, did he? Some of you that will bend over. That is how. Abraham did not do that. Yet he had a kind of faith that made God stand up to start taking oaths. Just ask yourself, why? That's it. It's a very simple thing. See, if you see a prayer warrior, that the word, instruction of the word does not move. No, the person is a prayer waster. There's no worry in it. You are away. See, you have to understand, God doesn't listen to everybody because they are talking. He doesn't listen to everybody just because they are speaking in tongues. Before God listens, he checks who is talking. Like I always say, Oye Neku. God must say, he always say, who is talking? You can't just be there and say, Hekaya Badakara. God will say, who is the person talking? Is it the one I told to get up and said he's too tired? Is it the one that said, go and he said, tomorrow? Is it the one that said, leave that group of friends? He said, no, they are my childhood friends. I can't leave them. Let him pray from now till next year. I won't listen to a word. And there's something about it. God will give you the spirit of stay in the church. Is that, you want to pray? You see, sometimes people say, God, why are you like this? I say, well, how do you want me to be? If you like deception, God will package it for you. If you like deception. See, a lot of churches, I see people just go there, and I look like, but this man lies to you every Sunday, twice a week, you know, Sunday and midweek service. But they keep going, dressed nicely to go. So I'll be praying, Father God, won't you just stop this thing? I say, why should I stop it? They like it. Some people like football. Some people like lying messages, itching ears. They like deception. They like someone to tell them no matter how you live, you are going to heaven. They like to hear, even though it's a lie. Try and tell them the truth, the way they will fight you. And then you look like, why are you defending the right to sin like this? Why are you defending the right to? Did the Bible not say without holiness no one will see that? They say no. You see, your spirit has been made holy. The Bible says you've come to the spirit of just men, what? Made perfect. That is, the things that are inside them have been expressed fully in their lives. They won't see that. One day they were having an argument. My wife was in a church group, a church chat group. Some people were saying that, if I remember that statement, a very free statement. I was not saved by my works. I cannot be condemned by my works. Have you heard that before? They say, no, tell them that it's illogical. Tell them it's illogical. That statement, as nice as it sounds, very poetic. Yeah, it rhymes. But it is illogical. There is no logic behind it. I was not saved by my works. I cannot be condemned by my works. It's a lie. I mean, I'll tell you. I'll give you a few examples. You're sitting down here now. Assume you have a lot of money. Okay, let's just say my name is Larry Ellison, all right? And I have over $200 million. So, you're Nigerian. So I decided to just dash you $10 million. Have I made you rich? No, sir. Have I made you rich? Have you become rich by your works? How did you become rich? Can you be poor within the next 1 year by your works? So can you say, I was not made rich by my works, I cannot become poor by my works? Does it make sense? That statement is illogical. When anybody tell them it is illogical, that there's no logic behind it. It rhymes, but it's not logical. It's foolishness dressed up in rhymes. That's what it is. I was not saying, but hey. Okay. Everybody knows how old my wife is. She just celebrated every day, so let me know. So let me ask her, for example. Were you there when you were born? It's a simple logic there. No, it's not somehow. It is very good. It's a good question. She wasn't there. What, okay, tell me what happened. You get where I'm going with that joke, all right? Yeah, she was, of course, physically, she's a baby. But nobody asked her whether her parents would conceive her. Nobody sought her consent. She just discovered one day she was growing up and she was noticing that she's in Nigeria. She has, there's light, there's something. The earliest memories I have of life, okay, and I have very distant memories. My mother used to marvel at some things I used to remember. But there was none before the age of 2. None. I remember some things before I was 3, all right? And I remember them now because I recounted them over the years. So, but generally, first 1 year, you're not aware. Where am I going? Were you born by your works? It's in the Bible. There's what they call the will of man. Not your will. The will of your parents. It was not by your works at all. Not by your will. You were not born by your works. Back to you, bro. Is it possible for the person that was not born by the works to die by his works? Yes. Can somebody say, you know, we are on third floor here. It's a bit of a high one. Each floor is high. There's a railing here. You get up there. So I want to jump down. I said, why are you jumping down? You may die. He said, no, I wasn't born by my works. I can't die by my works. Who do I ask? Are you mad? Do you know, like, are you okay? Are you okay? Are you all right? He said, no, I was not born by my works. I cannot die by my works. I was not born by my will. I can't die by my will. That statement is the exact opposite of logic. It's an illogical statement. I think I've proven it to you. Repentance goes with works. Anybody that's sitting down every day saying that it doesn't matter is lying. It's not based on scripture. John said, bear fruit in keeping with repentance. Faith and repentance are inseparable. Any faith that does not go with repentance is not working. We know there's counterfeit and dead faith all over the place. James told us that. And he explained how to know which is which. He said, if it does not produce appropriate works, works that are in consonance with what the faith produces, it professes, it is fake. It is dead, he said. He said, can such a dead faith save anyone? It was a rhetorical question in which the answer is obvious. It can't, he was saying. So people who like deception, God leads them there. Like I keep saying, doctrine, sound doctrine is not a result of intellectual rigor. It's not. It's not argument that produces sound doctrine in the heart. is a heart that truly wants to know. The heart that loves holiness. The heart that loves righteousness will discover the truth. But many people just want to make it, they want to live the worldly life and make it into the heavenly place. Do you follow my point? That let's find a way by which we can have both. The best of two worlds. Even though the two worlds are opposing each other. The problem is that people are friendly with the world. And they don't understand that that's enmity towards God. They love the world. They actually love it. They set worldly goals and look for Christian principles to achieve them. Yeah, that's what we pastors these days teach. For people to set worldly goals and look for Christian precepts to achieve the worldly goals. And that's not what God wants from us. See, you have to settle down and learn how to have heavenly goals. And heavenly goals, see, it's simple. God created it for a reason. There are things he wants to achieve, all right, for him, according to his plan. And you keep on praying that he reveals them to you and you walk towards it. There are two goals you have in life. That is one. The first and most important one is a goal of Christ's development in you. That's it. It is painful that, you see, people know. You look at somebody pursuing the goal of heaven for his life. You look at it as he's a foolish human being. I said something the other day. I said, I'm sure there are people, I mean, peers, people we knew from before, that look at my wife and I and feel sorry for us. You know the first, she was saying, what? I know what I'm telling you. Yes, still now. You see, I keep on telling you, you know your problem. You go to church. No, some of you that are like this, your problem is church. Do you follow my point? You go to church, you love the word of God. So, to you, some things are important. You understand? That people have looked and like, with the opportunities God has given you, can't you set your children up? What do they mean? Education abroad. That's what they mean. Oh, they're not feeling sorry for me anymore. No, I'm a lost case. They know. People gave up on me long ago. Not today. I mean, like, from university days. I told you, as a young man, oh God, now I look back, it's the feeling of the Spirit. I had a rich collection of tapes, messages. I could give you, maybe Bishop Oedipo, stack, like 50, 100. I had stacks of me, the Kenny Hagin, you know, Derek Prince, all those kind of people. And then, those days, my pride. Now listen to this, it's going to make you laugh. That if I like a woman, the proof I'm going to show to her, I really like, I want to marry her, is to give her the right to borrow any of my tapes, because I didn't use to lend anybody. You know why? I didn't use to lend people. Not out of wickedness. It was that they damaged, those these tapes easily got damaged. And people don't know how to handle them. But I felt that, no, if I really like a woman, I would tell her, look, listen, you can borrow them, you know. David, can you believe that? And, you know, I was feeling quiet with it too. I've told the story many times. The first time I was going to visit my wife, there's a tape I took along. I came from Lagos to Benin to see a young woman on her birthday. Of course, we're just meeting, quite all right, all right? And what did I come to give her? I still remember the tape, Go for Discoveries, David Oyedepo.
Bro.
You know, it's not as that. Even though I was trying to be temper, you know, gentle, mellow, but a tape to make a statement of intention. And that tape, I got it back. Because we married 18 months later. From the time we met, we married was about, 18 months. All right? A year and a half. And one day, amongst our load, you know, my tape was there. Go for Discoveries. And I had two copies. By Bishop David Oyedepo. To me, I felt that was, I thought that if you love the Lord, You will forsake all else to get access. You marry me to get access to my wealth of my catalog, my books. Until I began to face real life. And I found that nobody held my time. That the things I'm pursuing didn't concern anybody else. Like, not tape will go chop. People are buying nice jewelry to say, I'm interested. You are bringing tape to tell me you're interested. You're not serious. I will record myself for you to marry. You know? See, I'm talking about heavenly goals. Heavenly goals. See, when we were young, we used to talk about heaven. We began to learn the word. We said, no, heaven will come down to earth. No, heaven is not coming down to earth in that sense. You must be heaven-minded. You must understand that everything on this earth is temporal. You must understand that they were given for use. They're not given for security. You cannot build security for your children. It has never crossed my mind to build security for them. Never. It's only if God decides to secure somebody that the person is secure. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Listen, Christians, heaven is our goal. Paul said that there's a crown of righteousness that God reserved for those who have loved his appearing. That is, God rewards the fact that you are looking forward to the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's Christianity. Christianity is not the way by which you get results. Earthly result. Christianity is that if given a choice to see the Lord now or have all the wealth of Dangote, you will choose seeing the Lord. That's what it is. That's what it is. Paul said, what do I want? I want to depart and be with the Lord, which is far better. He said, if I remain on this earth, it is because there's a job that he gave me to do. So when I look at everything, there's still work to do. Therefore, let me remain. That's Christianity. It's not setting earthly goals and using scriptural principles to achieve them. It is, what does God want me to achieve for him, or to accomplish, that's the word. Accomplish working with him, because they are his plans, it's his own strength. What does he want me to accomplish working with him? That's Christianity. But the first in everything, the first in everything is me being transformed to the exact image of Christ. Back to where we began from. And that's what he meant when he said the spirits of just men made perfect. What controls you, I was saying, in this life is the spirits you drank of, is the kind of spirits you drank of, or you are drinking of, both of them. What controls you in this life is what has filled you. I was saying something just that we're laughing. No, I told you just in the last year or two that I finally understood some things we did as young. Because, you know, when I began to head the campus fellowship, I was still in my teens. Yeah. I had not made it to 20 years of age when I was appointed the president of my fellowship on campus. I just graduated from school. Before I went for service, of course, I studied medicine. So you have to do a year of housemanship those days. They still do it till now. That year, I went to a church. And, you know, I came back years later, my brother. And they were using the scripts I prepared. This church had bound into a book, their Bible study series, foundation class, and many things. And half of the book, they said, I prepared. And I read it, and I was arguing with the person that, no, I could not have written this. Because in my mind, I didn't know this. She said, no, these are the scripts you prepared when you were here. The pastor put everything together. The other, ones they prepared, and they had one fat book like this, and half of it, I contributed. And I was a young man, fresh out of school. See, I said, I came years later, and I read it. I'm like, you are saying I wrote this? He said, yes. I look like Kenneth Higgins will say, are you spoofing me? This is supposed to be, are you trying to, you know, what are you trying to do? Do you know, it's in recent years, I was sitting here, was it last year or the year before, that I finally began to realize what happened. It was not I, Paul said, but the grace of God working with me. I realized it was the filling of the Spirit that we had that time. So, of course, I went to school. We used to do all kinds of things. When I say all kinds of like pray. Now, for your information, I look back now, it's very funny. I was not a faller. You know they call it a faller. Lay hands from now till tomorrow. Me, go down. No, it was not never. I remember twice. One of which I'm convinced I got tired. And I knew somebody was behind to catch me. And everybody's going now, okay, you could go join them. And I sat on the floor for a while, wondering why I'm here. And like, what is this supposed to achieve? I remember only twice, like I told you. One is this one. The other one, can't remember for sure. I was not a faller. Those two are the only, I get my point, meetings I went for where they were laying hands and they Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit. There were hundreds. I'm telling you, I was not a faller. Like one pastor, he saw the video of that pastor. I think I see the video, so very funny. He said, some of you that come to this church, pastor touch you, you will fall under the Spirit. Pastor will greet you, you fall under the Spirit. Pastor shake your hand, you fall under the Spirit. He said, faller. He said, my friend, if you break any camera, you will pay. He said, media, if anybody breaks, hold the person. So some of you just go and fall near. Do you know how much that computer is? He said, my friend, stop falling, bring money. Brethren, I was not a faller. I wasn't. And I didn't even realize what the Spirit was doing. It was 30 years later. I look back and say, whoa, this was what happened. All these things we were doing, we literally were filled with the Spirit. Go and read your scripture, read my book, Receive the Holy Spirit, please. If you are listening to us online or you listen to this later, it's on our website. It's there to download. It's free of charge. If you do the PDF copy, just click on it. It's not just a few megabytes. Read the book. In it, I explained that, listen, Holy Spirit, Christians have laid too much emphasis. In fact, we say that the sign of being filled with the Holy Spirit is that you're speaking in tongues. I say, well, I don't accept that fully. I'm not saying it's wrong. Okay? I'm not saying it's wrong. But if all you do is speak in tongues, you're not filled with the Holy Spirit. That's what I say. Because when Paul got to Ephesus, just in the context of it, you realize he wasn't saying that. Why is nobody speaking in tongues here? He just watched their lives, saw their timidity. So their lack of understanding the scriptures. They couldn't sit down, hear the word properly, and get insight. At the end of the day, they say, come. Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you were baptized? No, when you believed? They said, we have not even heard that there's a Holy Spirit. Ah. He said, to what baptism then were you baptized? They said, John, aha. He said, that's the problem. Because at least you'll have heard that there's a Father, the Son, and the Holy. You will have heard. He now baptized them again. And they lay hands on them, and they were filled with the Spirit. Now, the point I'm making is this. It was their life. The filling of the Holy Spirit affects every part of your life. You speak the word. See, I think the most important. Now, this is my own opinion. Some people say, is speaking in tongues the most important? No, that's not what I believe. If you read through the scriptures, the most important sign that God gave us in the scriptures is the ability to speak the word with boldness. Boldness is the most important sign. If you speak in tongues and you go out and you are timid, go back. You have not received it. I still remember one brother does this. We're having a program in fellowship. Next thing, he filled the whole hall with his voice as he was speaking in other tongues. Somebody prayed for him to be filled with the Spirit. Now, what I remember about it is that this is a very normal, shy, quiet person. You know, one thing began to, he was beaming. You could see his face. It's as if he could light up a room. Put out the light, his face was good enough. This is where I'm going. And he went around greeting everybody, giving everybody a young student on campus. He would shake you, give everybody a hug. You could see the way he was walking. It was not just a talk. It affected his person. Read your scripture, say that, and they were filled with the Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. This is, you find people are filled with the Spirit, the life of iniquity does not go down. One girl, one day testified in court, yes, that she was, that pastor slept with her by force while speaking in tongues.
Excuse me.
Yeah, it's in the news. That was her testimony. Yeah, it said openly. That was their testimony. I said, "Bah, brethren, that is not speaking in tongues." Yeah, strange tongues, all kinds of things. So please, please go and read the book. Receive the Holy Spirit. I wrote it. Receive the Holy Spirit. And get my point there is that I find a situation in which I go to a wedding, say, a pastor should pray. Hey, Father, today we come this wedding to your hand. Then I speak in tongues. I say, you are praying at your wedding. Come on, are you all right? You are opening a mess. What is all of this? Meanwhile, the same pastor does not lay emphasis on departing from iniquity. Does not lay emphasis. See, in Nigeria, of today, all right? Now, please, this is not an insult on Nigeria. This is a matter of fact. And I believe it's the whole of Africa. Because, look, the day I went to Ghana, I realized that, look, these black people, they all behave the same. See, one big man in Ghana, he told another big man, one, like, other politician, like a clergyman or something, or was an influential person, that's what I'm looking for. An influential person. He told one man that in Ghana, they wanted to set up businesses like this and then employ local people now. What is all of this? So that our people can have work. The Ghanaian millionaire burst into laughter. That lie. That if I set up the business, I'm going to India to hire people. So to let you know that I'm not abusing Nigeria. Some of you like to insult Nigeria. Go to Congo. Go to Uganda. We're all the same. Yeah, you know, the reason why you get a lot of insults in Nigeria is because we are so plenty. We are very educated. We are prominent. Our voice is loud. And then naturally, we are loud people. Just go somewhere. Hey, what's happening here? So everybody knows all our bad habits. Even though they have the same bad habits, but our own is louder. So I'm not, please, Nigerians, so I'm not trying to abuse us. I'm just saying that we are like the prominent voice on this continent. The corruption is too much. That's where I'm going. I was talking to Mia a few days ago. She said about a young man that was posted to her hospital to come and work. So they found a place for him. He has a BSc, one very nice sounding scientific course. So they brought him to come and work in the research laboratory. And she was talking to him, and the boy had didn't know anything about proposal, introduction, you know, yeah, scientific writing. Nothing, no idea, zero. Like, it's like asking a cook to come and fly a plane. Do you follow my point? I've just looked for two things that are so separate from one another. Okay, yes, okay. You take an organizer to come and do advanced surgery on the heart. That's how the guy, he was just so empty. So she, good, precious. May God bless you extra this morning. Did she not write projects? That was a question she asked him. And the answer was no. I gave money. No, I'm not contracted. I gave money to my course rep. He found a project to submit on my behalf.
Excuse me.
No, that's not the point. You see my point? I told Mommy, and that's not true. She said, what? I said, it's not true. I said, that money went to his lecturer. Because if he was not the lecturer, he was supposed to have a supervisor.
Yes.
You cannot take a project you did not do, give to your supervisor, and it will fly. You submit chapter by chapter. You are aware of that. So I told my sister, I said, it's a lie. He didn't tell you the whole truth. That money went to his lecturer. His project supervisor is the one that collected the money. You will remember when we went to Makurdi, it was somebody that came to meet us. Exactly. You do project, he said no. You give your lecturer money, he has a stack of them. He takes one, puts your name on top of it and submits. It's corruption. It's worse than you realize. You know, when I was taking a talk by a politician, I laugh. I said, leave politicians alone. I'm talking about the depth of university. University. So those of you who are waiting for, you are telling politicians to leave this thing. They are too far away from the real corruption. They are far. The only person that can change the corruption around there, I've told you many times, is the church. Some people say, only the fear of God can take it away. With all the noise we are making, if you know how corrupt people are making laws, I mean, I don't feel anything of it. I'm like, what I'm there, I'm not saying it's good. I'm not saying it's bad. What I'm saying is that I don't hold them special. It's a spirit in the air. Now, I'm talking about the spirit of the spirit. The only way... See, let me explain. It's so bad that the Bible says those who want to depart from evil turn themselves into a prey. If you work in an office, typical office, you get fired not being lazy, not because you're lazy, not because you're incompetent, but because you're honest. That the person who doesn't work, doesn't do anything, the painful part, even in private companies. There was one new film. What's the name of that film? Sweetheart, we were watching yesterday night. Mount Zion. Very beautiful film. Under Siege. I think they released it a few days ago. Watch it. There was one scene inside that movie that I said, my God, this guy just got it right. One young boy who had, he had made it big. Was a student. Now, it happened. When Chris Okotie was the Davido of his day, he was a student at UNN here. UNEC. Yes, Enugu campus. So I understood that. This guy entered the class, disrupted the class. So the lecturer got angry. So after a while, the boy told the lecturer, like, okay, calm down now. What's all of this vexing? The guy said, I promise you by tomorrow, you'll be dismissed from this school. The guy said, I promise you by tomorrow, I'll be in this school. Told the lecturer, and they walked out of the class. Now, that's not the gist. The gist was when he now went to the vice chancellor's office. It was a private university when they had to discuss the matter. You should watch that scene. It's very beautiful. They had one lecturer there, very foolish human being, but very good. That'd be like, he was acting a foolish part. Very good actor. Opened his mouth, talking nonsense. If even in the scene, they had to tell him, say, please, I think we should stop talking. Because his foolishness was very interesting. The way we just speak. Now, where I'm going, even the foolish man and the vice chancellor and another university official, three of them stood, and this man was saying, there has to be discipline here. And they said, discipline is good, though. I will tell the boy to come and apologize to you. But do you know since he came to this school, look at the number of people that have come. They were there excusing it away, that boy. Since that boy came with all his madness, we don't prosper. They are actually asking, with all your discipline, how many students have you attracted to this school? How many have you attracted? Then you relax. Why I like that scene? It's because it depicts exactly what is going on in the world today. I told even in church, people are afraid to offend the rich. I told you before, one day a woman, big church, if I mention the name, in this city, Pentecostal, she and her husband, pastors, she found out that my wife was a pastor's wife. She said, let me pick your brain on something. How do you handle deacons that are committing adultery? My wife was like, what do you mean, handle deacons that are committing adultery? Is there a problem? You de-deacon him now. At least let's start from... He's not like, let's start from the de-deaconing process. The woman said, no. These are the financial pillars of the church. You know, my wife was confused for a moment. So when she came home, she said, please, is something wrong with me? I'm just coming from a big church, you know. I said, yes. This was what I was told. This was many years ago. My wife was confused, like, it's supposed to be an issue? The size of your financial pillar that you carry to church should matter? Please, why am I talking about this whole thing? Please, I've stayed on it for too long. The point is that you can only stand up to that if you are filled with the Spirit. That's where I was going. So let me just sit on it. Let me not. You can't. You see, listen, Jesus said, tarry. You know what it means? Wait. Hide. Stay secluded. Don't go anywhere. In Jerusalem until you are endued with power. He had taught them for 3 years, 3.5, 4 years, we don't know the exact number of years, before crucifixion. After resurrection, for a few weeks, 40 days, he was with them, teaching them the deep things of God. Now, not everything could he teach them, because some he had to give to Paul later, but he had taught them a lot. With everything he had taught them, he said, now, wait, guys, tarry in Jerusalem until you are endued. With everything you know, you can't face persecution successfully. You cannot face corruption successfully. You cannot successfully face opposition until the promise of the Father to empower you is released. So I say, please, Christians, forget speaking in tongues for a moment as a sign. What we need in Nigeria is the ability to stand against corruption as a sign. Come and give testimony. In my office, we are sharing money. They wanted to do it. I said no. I refused. I got fired. Praise God. This is the reason. My boss said we should account for money that we should account for 100 million naira. Meanwhile, we received only 50. I said no. Praise God. I have been sacked. Yes, but I thank God. I stood. That is the sign I'm asking for. Not you come to church. Your salary in a month is 100,000 naira. You come and give offering one time. 3 million. And pastor lay hands on you. Two of you are speaking in tongues there. Two criminals are speaking in tongues. Two thieves are speaking in tongues. That's not the Holy Spirit, I'm sorry. That is not the Holy Spirit. That, see, I can tell you know what I can tell you? Watch Nollywood movies. Are you telling me those actors are speaking in Holy Spirit tongues? Because we don't know the language they are speaking, you can open your mouth and say anything. You can literally talk nonsense and it's, just go keke ko. No, it will sound like something. Like one man said, hey, who took my Honda? Who took my Honda? I want a Honda. What was it? I want a Honda. Who took my Honda? He said it fast. He sounded, yeah. One guy was saying, yeah, Peru. He meant Peru in South America. He was not speaking any tongues. Brethren, do I believe in speaking in tongues? Yes. Certainly, yes. Should we come there and say that's a sign of being filled with the Spirit? No. I spoke in other tongues. I thank God for that. But when next, how bold was I to stand against corruption? I said, no. I'm sorry. Not under my watch. That's what I'm saying. See, let me tell you, let me just declare it loud. For example, in this our nation right now, childhood education, that is secondary school education, has to be redeemed by Spirit-filled Christian teachers, Spirit-filled WAEC officials, Spirit-filled NECO officials. You have to turn into prayer. See, students don't, the painful part is that why I'm saying we have to redeem is that you see young people being raised who think there's no need for hard work. I was asking my wife about one young boy yesterday. I said, did he go abroad like this? He said, no, he didn't go abroad. I said, he didn't come back to school now. He said, no, he said the school is too hard. Yeah. That is too hard. That particular one is too hard. And what is it too hard? The fact that Because my wife now telling me the experience he had that one day they caught him in the school. Say, he doesn't do assignment, doesn't do anything. You know how much they don't write. That is like the idea is that here, pay attention. You write little. Let's talk. Let's teach. The guy said the work is too much. So my wife thinks she thinks that he has gone back to the school he came from. Why? Because the school where a whole session, they won't have a teacher in a particular subject and they will do it in WAEC. And they will all pass. There's no why. It's normal. This is your country of today. Before, you had to travel to rural areas to do such things. In the cities, it's now normal. That's why the current wife, please pray for them and support them. That they say they are taking it the jam way. They want to move, you know, jams, their CBT. It's not 100% perfect, but at least people now know that if you want to do jambo, you have to study. So what they have did to the children is that it was came into their mind. You don't have to work hard to pass these exams. And that's what that boy was complaining about. Why are you making me do assignments? That's what it costs too hard. They have to do tests maybe every 2 weeks. That's what it called too hard. Because they insist classwork. That's why it called too hard. Because every class, you have to get a short test at the end. That's what the boy calls too hard. Not that somebody's making him clean the whole compound. No. What I've just told you is what, and it's not his fault. Because where it was coming from, nobody needed to do that to pass. So what's your people's problem? You need spirit-filled people to redeem. You see, please, let me talk about the spirit of it, because there are so many things I want to say. I'm finding it hard to get to the main thing I had in mind, that, but I believe I'm speaking by the Holy Spirit, though. But let me talk about the spirit of Edom again. Okay, and I said I'll tell you some things I want to say. Number one, what happens to you in life is not what you choose, it's the kind of spirit that controls you. And I emphasize that you are here this morning, you demonstrated value for something, your sense of value. So you left, despite the inconvenience to your person, your time, your resources, you said, no, let me go and sit while the word of God is being taught to me. That is what opens you to the spirit of faith. It's not the number of hours you spent hearing the word, it's how important you say that the word is. That's the point I'm making. That's how spirits enter into you. The kind of thing, remember we're talking about entertainment. Whatever entertains you, what? Enters you. So, the kind of thing you open your heart to, that you find exciting, like I told you earlier, show respect to holy things. Now, I just want to emphasize that. Let me talk quickly about the spirit of Edom, because I'll say something. One of the things that God is judging, all right, is, okay, let me like this. Every spirit you that exists on this earth, God has judged. Yeah. Every spirit that's available, that exists on this earth, has been judged by God. Now, I use that word judge now in two ways. Judge as in God has sat over it, weighed it, and pronounced a sentence of good or evil. All right? That's what I'm saying there. So if God has pronounced a sentence of good, if you drink of that spirit, you will be blessed. Do you follow? Yeah. If God has pronounced a sentence of evil against it, like we're looking at the spirit of Edom as an example. Now, what is Edom? Edom is another name for the descendants of Esau. Now, please, hey, I pray I get all these things, well arranged in your hearts as I'm speaking. When we say descendants now, let's talk about being a descendant. A descendant, as far as God is concerned, is not the natural genetic lineage. For example, those who are descendants of Abraham are those who are of the faith of Abraham. It's not natural. So, it is not whether you are a Jew or Gentile. It's are you of the faith of Abraham or you are not. God does not count Abraham's descendants by literal father, son, grandson stuff. He counts those who do the works of Abraham. I was discussing with some people yesterday. I said I discovered recently, some people claim that even Elijah was not an Israelite. I won't be dogmatic about it, but I said what excites me about that, if it is true, is I let you know that even then, people could enter the covenant who are non-natural descendants. Yeah, they could. Which explains how the Moabite, Ruth, became an ancestor of whatever, if I say stress, I don't know whether it says her, of Jesus Christ. Do you get my point? Yes. Because, see, with God, from time, from eternity, it's his faith that matters. And he said it like this, the just shall live by faith. It is, look, it is those that do what pleases him. He said in Isaiah, talk about the eunuch that chooses what pleases me. That's what matters to the Lord. Please, this is very important, what I'm saying today. Please follow me. I pray that I'm able to bring it out to you the way it is in my heart. Isaiah 56. He said, for thus says, from verse 4. Isaiah chapter 56, verse 4. He said, for thus says the Lord, to the eunuchs who keep my Sabbaths and choose what pleases me and hold fast my covenant, to them I will give in my house and within my walls a memorial and a name better than that of sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name which will not be cut off. Also, verse 6, very important. Also, the foreigners who join themselves to the Lord to minister to him and to love the name of the Lord, to be his servants, everyone who keeps from profaning the Sabbath and holds fast my covenant, even those I will bring to my holy mountain and I will make them joyful in my house of prayer. He said, their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be acceptable on my altar, for my house will be called a house of prayer for all the peoples. What am I saying here? God said, look, forget Israel, making it look like this is exclusive. Anybody who will do the works of God, who will obey, because when you see the word Sabbath, all right, it's not just a seven-day rest he was talking about. Every priest, every feast of God was considered a Sabbath. So those who observe his Passover, they're observing his Sabbath. Do you get my point? Those who observe all his festivals, which we know now, they stand for something or the other in Christ Jesus. Do you get it? So the point the Lord is saying is that everyone who approaches, it is not about being natural as a descendant. It's by doing the works that the descendants are commanded to do. It's by doing the works that the descendants are commanded to do. There's one word that Paul used in Galatians at the end. He said, peace be upon the Israel of God. When the Lord was speaking in Revelation, he said to the church, he said, I know your persecution from those who say they are Jews and they are not. They literally, physically were Jews. He said, but they are nothing but the synagogue of Satan. They were synagogue of Jews. But the Lord said, see, as at that time, if you claim to be a Jew and you did not believe in Jesus Christ, the Lord did not recognize you. So that was what he meant when he said that they claim to be Jews, but they are not. He said it's their claim that they are Jews, but in the Lord's eyes, they were not. So bear this in mind, the descendants that God recognizes are not those who say that this is my father. It is those who, listen to this, drank of the spirit of the ancestor and is manifesting in their lives as the works of these ancestors. So there's a spirit of Abraham that you drink of that makes you a descendant of Abraham. It's called faith. It's called faith. It's called faith. Please, I hope you're following my point. A descendant, as an example, of Edom, an Edomite today. Listen to me carefully. We talked about it a few minutes ago. An Edomite of today is a person who despises holy things. That's why I kept on emphasizing, don't mock holy things. Don't mock holy things. Anyone who mocks holy things is a descendant of Edom. He's an Edomite. That fellow has drunk of the spirit of Edom. And what he or she is doing is incurring, listen to this, the judgment of God against Edom. Please, I want you to listen to it carefully. Any spirit, see, every spirit on this earth has been judged. And the descendant of the ancestor of that spirit, that is the first ancestor in the scripture, to manifest that spirit, you will see the judgment of God. These things were recorded for our learning. Let me explain what I'm trying to say. So if God says, okay, there is an Esau in this life. Let's look at the life of Esau. He despised holy things. His father, his mother told him about the covenant of the ancestors. He didn't care about it. He believed in his hard work. Through his hard work, he will make it. He sold his inheritance for a muscle. Please, I like to explain this all the time. Many of us here have cars. I don't know how hungry you are that you will sell that car for a meat pie and a coke. If you're hungry, you're almost fainting, like you are going to die. I say, please, somebody, give me food now. They say, give me this, your car. Now, it's not even a Rolls Royce, though. Not the latest Lincoln Navigator. Just a Camry. 10 years old. If you bought it, you know, a few years ago, you have rocked it in this country for 2 years. And they said they will give it to you for a plate of rice with chicken and a bottle of Coke or juice, fresh squeezed, freshly squeezed orange and mango. With plantain that's directly taken from, you know, from somewhere in a Edo state like that. And they cut it fat and roast. See, I'm describing it for you. Then they now garnished it with a barbecued gizzard. Now, as you know, I'm describing like this, you're already feeling happy. You're feeling blessed already. The spirit is already possessing you with joy. Just my description of it. They say, hey, wait, before you eat, give me the keys to your car. You look at the food. Suddenly, it will turn to manure on your face. This nice food I just described. See, you're about to die, listen. He was not about to die. He was hungry. The reason he sold, so that you can understand the righteousness of God. The reason he sold was that it was not worth more than that to him. Why you will not sell your car is that it is too valuable in your eyes. It's not that you're not hungry. You're like, Abba, Oga, you wicked though. Even if I decide to fling this car as banjo, at least somebody will give me 2 million now. You know, you're like, hey, but if you are dead, now what will you do for you? He said, you bury me in the boot. What is the thing? You are not going to sell. Simply because all of this is about value. So those who don't value holy things, and let me explain that thing. No, before I explain it, let me tell you what God said about what he would do to those who are like Esau. Now remember, David Pawson said, when godliness disappears in one generation, goodness disappears in the next. So that's how I was telling you, young ladies, don't marry a man that's not godly. That doesn't fear God. He may be nice now, he will turn to an ape. Within 10 years, he will turn to a beast. He will. If he manages to pull you away from godliness, your children will be immoral, they will be beastly. But this faith of one parent sanctifies the children. So let's pray he doesn't manage to do that. But see, godlessness is dangerous. The reason is because of the spirit it can drink. Let me explain. Who betrayed Jesus Christ? Judas. With his own strength? Answer me. What did the Bible say? I read one story the other day. No, I saw one. Somebody was analyzing a particular story. It's not something new. But what struck me there was that one young man entered the house. He went to steal. A young woman upstairs came down. When she heard movement, is there somebody there? A white woman. It's a black guy. And he went ahead and killed her. Now, it's not the killing her that's the issue now. That's the issue, of course, but it was the way he did it. And the person analyzing, he said, look, he described his size and described her size. So he was about double her weight. She was a smallish woman. Basically, her size was not a threat to him. He was not paid as an assassin. He was just a petty thief. Yet he took him, entered the house. He butchered this woman, stabbed her maybe like 20 times. I see things on spiritual side. I said, this guy, what happened is simple. As soon as he saw the woman, a spirit entered him. It was not him that was doing all that he was doing. A spirit, no, please, brethren, believe me. A spirit entered him. So all the lash out, everything he was doing, was not human. The lady didn't offend him. He didn't know her. It was a random house he chose just to steal. When I was reading the story, I said, when I was hearing it, somebody was narrating it, I said, it's a spiritual thing. To betray Jesus Christ, a spirit had to enter Judas. So that's why I said, look, you see, it is what can enter a godless man we are talking about. It's not what he does now. It is what is it that can enter this person. Don't marry a godless man. Anything can enter him. He just wake up one day and just decide that you are a witch. And you have never done him any evil. You know, God is helping me these days. I reduce my argument with people. Because before, you think people are behaving rationally. They are all irrational. Every single in me talking to you. All right? I'm irrational. Yeah. You that are saying you are there, you are irrational. Everybody is irrational. What we are doing is what the spirit that possesses us dictates. It's not the reason. That's what I'm trying to say. I know that's what he said here. When I get up in the morning, let me give myself. If you want to be rational, many of the things we do as ministers make no sense. Why would I take money that people send to Kingdom Word? I could use the money to eat. You wouldn't know. Nobody, EFCC, DSS, if I decide to eat the money, why would you know? Why would I take that same money, travel across the country, travel across to maybe like Bauchi, Gombe. Name one of you, where your guy carry us go? For that side. Nasarawa is even close. Adamawa. Are we in Adamawa? Yes, we're in Adamawa. And we are paying a lot of money every quarter to be preaching this gospel. I've never gone there. I'm not aware anybody from there has sent us money. Please let me ask you, what is rational about that? I don't sell books. Our books are free to download online. Our messages, our channel on YouTube is not monetized. We have nothing we market. Every offering we get is free will. And you know me, I don't promise anybody anything. If I threaten them that if you sow into my life, because I don't want grass growing on my head when I'm going on the road. Don't give to kingdom, because when you do, God will multiply. Any money you give to kingdom shall be multiplied in preaching. That's what we promise. Yeah, of course, we pray for everybody that works with us. It's a standard. We pray. And we pray that God will bless you in abundance in Jesus' name. Well, we don't want you to do anything on that premise. So why will I take money, therefore, and be broadcasting? One day somebody invited us to come and join a particular radio station, television station, international, that you'll be able to raise partners for your ministry. I said, this is, you don't know that you are talking to the wrong person. So I should go international to raise partners. Don't you know Nigerians have more money than all these people that you're talking about? No, if it's return on investment, shouldn't I invest in people who are in Enugu here? Do you understand my point? I should go and broadcast in South America to get money from Peru. What kind of thing is that? Of course, I didn't answer them. This is the wrong motivation. I want to preach the word where people will be blessed by it. It's not those who will send. Do you follow my point? That's what I mean by irrational. The reason why we do things, it's not always easy to explain. The only thing that, like Elsa Chambers would say, the only thing that a real Christian has as a defense for what he or she does is that it pleases the Lord. I hope you're getting my point. So, brethren, we are not rational people. So I'm learning now, God helping me, not to argue with people anymore. Because argument assumes we have the same basis for reasoning. That's what we mean by rational. We are using these steps to reason. We don't have the same basis. What are we arguing over? That's why in politics, don't argue. This candidate is bad, this one is good. Please stop arguing. I've argued, I argued with specialist doctors. I realized that there's no point. People like those who they like for certain reasons, and they don't like who they don't like for certain reasons, which is not part of the things they are giving you in argument. There are some people, they don't like some people. This candidate, I don't like him. Why? He looks like my father. And if my father wake up, I go kill him. I'm telling you. You're laughing. I'm telling you. The man talks like their father. He looks like their father. He has this authoritarian attitude. That's all. His economic policies doesn't matter. Whatever, it doesn't matter. This guy reminds me of my dad, and I hate my dad. That's all he's thinking of. But he can't tell you. You argue from now till tomorrow. He can't tell you the real reason. People don't tell you what they are thinking of. But as they think in their heart, the Bible says, that's how they are. Not as they argue with you. Please. People who take actions, it is the Spirit that can possess them. Why am I talking about that today? Don't marry a godless man. And if you're a Christian woman, you know what God is angry about in that? That because you despised me. See, there are words the Bible uses. God, go and check it. God will say, because they despised me. If God says, don't do something. Let me give an example now. It's happened to me before. It's probably happened to you too. Maybe you tell somebody, a subordinate at work, don't do this. When you come in the morning, take that bag, keep it over there. It's okay. Then you come next day, you see the subordinate has kept that bag where you said he shouldn't keep it. You're angry. And now, sometimes some people, I wish they would shut up and not defend themselves. Let my anger just calm down. They will now say, no, sir, I didn't put it there because this man said, put it here. Then you look at who said. You check your rank. Let's use grade level, all right? Civil service. You are a level 15 officer. Then the other person who told this level 5 officer to do the other thing is actually a level 10 officer. What comes to your mind? What? Who is he? And you, because he that first does not know that you gave instruction. So you pardon the level 10 officer. But you look at the level 5 officer like, are you out of your mind? I gave an instruction. You despised my order and you're obeying that of a level 10 man. Think about it. A general tells you to do something. And you're a corporal. And you now say it's because one major said, the general bundles you and the major into the guardroom. So be commanding each other inside my guardroom. Now that's how it is with God. That's how it is with God. When he says something, now please let me explain how he feels. When God, see, every time you do something in life, listen to this, you're obeying something. Anytime you do something, you're obeying something. Sometimes you're obeying your fears. Sometimes you're obeying somebody else. And you know, the person people find easiest to disobey is the Lord himself. And I'm telling you today, that thing offends him like nothing else. So, I told you, take out all the Amalekites and their goods. It says, Samuel, the people said they wanted to take this. Saul, is that you didn't hear what I said? Thus says the Lord, destroy everything. He said, but the people, basically, the people are more important, they are more powerful than the Lord. brethren, he punishes for it. He rejected Saul, destroyed his household. Even long after he was gone, the household of Saul was still being destroyed. There was a time there was trouble in Israel. They killed his descendants to please the Gibeonites. Please, I'm begging you, don't despise the Lord. Don't despise the Lord. He avenges himself on those that despise him. Let me tell you, this is how you handle God. If I perish, let me... He said, I was telling my wife, I said, see, dying is not a problem. It's God, please, just kill me by yourself. Do you get my point? I don't want disobedience to kill me. He said, is Banky dead? He said, yes. What happened to him? The Lord said, it's time for him to go. I'm happy. It is that it's good to die in the Lord. Do you get my point that why did he die? He was obeying God. It's a safer bet for my life. There are things I do in this life, not out of boldness, but out of fear. I don't know what I hear what I said. Fear of God. And when I say fear, I mean fear as in fear. Like, what will I tell the Lord? See, when you're making decisions in life, just bear that in mind. Maybe you want to marry. And the reason why you don't want to marry this person. Look, are you married? No. So, okay, now, let's assume you are going to marry tomorrow. How many people are you going to marry? One. Okay, after marrying one, how many are you going to add to it? None. Okay, see, you hear what he said now. So for all these women here and in the world, he's going to marry only one. So it makes sense that most women he will meet, he will not marry. True or false? Good. So there's nothing wrong with not marrying somebody. It is the reason that's the problem. The woman fits everything. But my mother doesn't like people from. That statement, just carry it and go and try and defend it before God and see the trouble you'll be inside. Please, even if that woman you end up marrying is the will of God, if that is part of the reason you married her because my mother likes people from here and she doesn't like, and God had presented other things, even though in your disobedience you found his will, he will still punish you for it. Why? You feared your mother more than him. Look at what the Bible said, judge by yourselves. That's what the apostle said. They said, you yourselves judge. Whether we should obey man and disobey God. This was what God told us to do. To preach in this name. Now you are saying that we should not preach. What did he say? You are witnesses of these things. So you say we should not. Guys, you yourself judge. These guys put their lives on the line. A lot of things I do is out of fear. That kind of fear. That what will we say to God now? So I'll say, tell God, that everything that you taught me in scriptures, they are not true. They don't work. They are not correct. I don't know about you. I know a day will come. I will be in trouble. I want to have a place to go. Yes, sir. If you have been despising him, where do you go? Let me tell you, so you can go to any country you want. Like one of our brothers, very shameful thing he said. He has another of our brothers. They used to be with us in Enugu. So that one reported to me. That, can you imagine what this brother is asking me? How are you people surviving in that country? He said, asked him, how are you surviving where you are? Because if it is God that's really keeping you where you are, who do you think is keeping us here? There's some Edomite comment you pass. How are you surviving? Because you live in Europe. So you are saying Europe is keeping you. And Africa cannot keep us. This is what I'm saying. Why don't you call and say, hey, I saw the challenges. God is faithful. I read in the news. Hey, I thank God. Let me just tell you again. Put God in every statement. Read your scriptures from beginning to the end. There is nobody that's talked about more than the Lord or close to him. This is we talk about devil. Not in your Bible. Though. From Genesis to Malachi. Hardly mentioned. You hear it once about David. You hear it a few times
in the life of Job? You hear him once. Is this Zechariah who was talking about his contention? Then, of course, don't forget the mention in temptation and in judgment in Genesis. But please go to Genesis. Don't open up, but just in your mind. Go to Genesis chapter 1. First line. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Next line. And God, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. And next line. And God said. Next line. And God saw. Next line. And God said. And next, God saw. That's why I came down saying, and God said, let us, God again, make man in our, God again, and after our likeness. In the image of God, go through the scriptures. Go to the Psalms. God everywhere. In your life, who are you talking about the most? So, do you know, some people here, Tinubu, three, Tinubu. One, Buhari. Even in death, Buhari. by the time they finished mentioning names, 15 names have gone about issues of life. I said, well, anyway, shall God only comes after anyway. That's it. At the end, God did. I'm telling you, please, punctuate every statement. See, it's the Lord. Good morning. How are you this morning? The Lord is good, though. Yeah, we plan to go to Port Harcourt tomorrow afternoon. But God helping us. Just drop it. What are you doing now in this business? We're thinking of opening another branch. We're praying about it. God, do you understand? As the Holy Spirit leads us, I will believe the grace of God. Please, don't be ashamed. Throw it in everywhere. Because those who don't, let's read their judgment. I've told you what Edom is, right? What the spirit of Edom is. The spirit that does not value holy things. The spirit that thinks the problem we have in Africa is leadership. The spirit that thinks that if only you can elect a good leader, this country will go right. Oh God, it's pure, it is an Edom spirit. Edom. Look at what God said. Malachi, I think it should be chapter 1. I have loved you, says the Lord, verse 2. But you say, how have you loved us? He said, was not Esau Jacob's brother, declares the Lord. Yet I have loved Jacob, but I have hated Esau. And I've made his mountains a desolation and appointed his inheritance for the jackals of the wilderness. Listen to the judgment of Edom. Though Edom says, we have been beaten down, but we return and build up the ruins. Thus says the Lord God of hosts, they may build, but I will tear down. And men will call them the wicked territory. And the people toward whom the Lord is indignant forever. The people towards whom the Lord is angry forever. This is the judgment of God on the mountains of Edom. They will become a desolation. His inheritance will be for jackals of the wilderness. They will work hard, but their work will always meet with frustration. Is any time they get up their loins to build. They will build an edifice costing maybe in Nigerian terms 500 million naira. But one funny structural engineer will have miscalculated the size of rods in the central pillars. Just before it is commissioned, it will come crumbling down. People will think, this is why you should get a good engineer. God says, no, I put the spirit of destroyer in those people that are working. Why? Because my judgment stands eternally against Edom. Let me tell you about judgment against spirits. God doesn't lift them. You hear what I say? There's no time he lifts those judgments. There's none. The only thing he does is to deliver you from the Edom spirit. He will tell you, come out from amongst them and be separate.
The Bible talks about execution of judgments written. I don't want to talk about that in detail, but to let you know, judgments have been written. Let me give another example of wrong. Because you see, what you do in this life is, you know what the Bible says? Take heed to your spirit. In this Malachi, we were talking about it, but I won't go into details. Is that he said something? Take heed to your spirit. Brethren, ask yourself every day, what is pushing me? You see, sometimes people talk about the difference between soul and spirit. Let me tell you the major difference between soul and spirit. The soul of a man cannot be shared. David said, my soul, it's just me, I'm talking to myself. But the spirit can be spread. You hear spirit statements like, the spirit of Elijah doth rest upon Elisha. There are two things to that statement. And it's very important. I'm watching my time. Maybe we'll continue next time. Like I said, I don't know how long this will take me. There are two things there. The anointing of Elijah doth rest upon Elisha. That's only half. The other half is that whatever was inside Elijah that allowed him to receive that unction from the Lord is now inside who? Elisha. Causing that same spirit to rest upon Elisha. Later on, maybe I'll leave it the next time. I'll talk about this again. But how did Elisha get that spirit? How did he get it? You see, the Bible talked about he was the one that was pouring water. It's not just the pouring of water. It is that the proximity. He was always there hearing what Elisha had to say. But we'll talk about that another time. Maybe I'll leave it till next time. But what I want to emphasize is that the spirit can be shared. The spirit can be transmitted. The spirit of wisdom, the spirit of the craftsman was inside Bezalel. All right, Bezalel. And the Bible said something, told us that, very important, that he gave him the ability to teach others also, is the ability to pass the spirit across. It's not just instruction. And later, God helping me, I'll repeat something I taught. I wrote in one of the books, either Living by Divine Wisdom or Habit of Faith. You'll find in one of the chapters. Okay? Don't be without the spirit. A lot of people are copying actions, but they don't have the spirit. I will talk about it again next time. All right? Being with the spirit, and then how it is transmitted. But the point I'm trying to make to you so you understand today is that the spirit in somebody can move to another person, but the soul of a man cannot move. Do you get my point? No. So when you talk about somebody's spirit, it can be shared. I can infect you with my spirit. That is how I transmit the characters inside me, by infecting you with the spirit. And one of the major way I infect you with the spirit is when you see, let me tell you, I've seen husbands that behave funny. After a while, their wives start behaving like that. That's what they call inbreeding. Let me do that small and then we'll go. You know what they call inbreeding? It's a genetic thing. Inbreeding happens in churches. The pastor teaches the congregation. They are the only ones that can mount his pulpit. So they only talk to themselves. And they think that they are the only ones that God called. They can never have a balanced generation. You go check, they always have moral problems. The only defense, is that your pulpit, God called you, anointed you, sanctified you. Leave that in. It calls somebody else to. There are things the person knows. You don't know. You can't know. There is a spirit he has to pass certain things across you don't have. Please, if you go to a church where they have built a wall, only listen to pastor, don't mind them. I'm not saying you go stop going to the church, go. But in the name of the Lord, I command you, disobey that instruction. You will be obeying God. And let your pastor know. Use tithe. When you're talking to him, when he's talking one day, the day I was listening to Pastor Kumi, he said something. I looked at you. What did you say? Yes, Pastor WF, yes. He said something. What are you talking again? I said, you know, Jody, I heard them. Pastor Banky was saying something the other time. No, on my way back from Abuja, my wife and I said to stay overnight in Boko. We said, let us just stay with Pastor. Let him know. He will call you a rebel, but you are the hope of his ministry. I'm telling you. What I'm talking about is that I have seen. Sorry, like I'm judging people, but the truth is that my wife, I tell my wife, say, see, we have a brother like this. I said his life would have been okay If his wife just agreed to mix with the brethren. See, your husband is abnormal, and you too are abnormal. It's not good. It's not good. It's not good. I'm telling you. You go out, hug people, greet them, bring the good spirit of God that's not in your house into the house. Now, look, my wife is, in fact, those days she was my only disciple. They remained my number one disciple, but now she still remains one of my number one disciples. Is that okay? Yes, but you enter my house a lot of times. She listens to Pastor Delva. She listens to Derek Prince. If anybody I quote, one day she told me, say, my husband, this thing you are doing is not good. I said, what do you mean? She said, anytime you download this thing, transfer to my device. Say, that's why I'm your wife. I don't have to look for it myself. Once you find this is good, say, once I hear you listening to it, I want it on my device. I listen to all kinds of ministers, you know. I don't need to tell you. In fact, there's one minister I don't listen to. Surprise some of you. There's one guy I don't listen to. There was a day, Baba was listening to my messages in the house. I had to come and say, sweetheart, please, can you reduce the volume? He said, why? I said, I don't know what he's saying. He said, I beg, leave me. I just, you understand? But I listen to messages every day. Literally every day. Every day. I mean, day and night. I wake up at night to send myself back to sleep. I hear 10 minutes or something. So my wife told me, yeah, okay, this thing you're listening to, put on here too. This woman must hear it. That's to prevent inbreeding. That's what I'm trying to emphasize. But number one way you drink of somebody's spirit is through words. That's what I'm talking about. Number one way. And listen to me, whatever spirit you drink of, there's a blessing in it, it will come to you. If there's judgment, you have to be careful the spirit you are drinking. See, I know I will offend people, but I will say it. Those of you that listen to Nnamdi Kanu, you brought judgment into your household. Yeah, I know I'm telling you. I'm saying it openly. I know it's going to cause offense for some people. I really don't care. Because there's nobody that's a true disciple of mine by the word of God that will be offended. They will know the spirit. Remember this guy, this funny guy in Lagos, that did something? Yeah. Once you listen to that guy, you drink a rebellious spirit. He was criticizing tithing and all of that. You know I'm not a tithing person. So, by the letters, you think we have the same spirit. We have the same viewpoint. But I heard him once. Somebody sent it to me. Have you heard this thing? I heard it. I replied her, this guy has a rebellious spirit. It's none of mine. That is like, now a lot of people listen to him and say, but Pastor Banky has been telling us these things. So some of the things he said, they thought he agreed with me. But I heard him only one time. I said, this guy has a rebellious spirit. And if you know him, tell him, I said, he should stop talking on scriptural matter. Otherwise, God will shut him up. It's an anointing he does not have, an understanding he does not have, a blessing God has not given him, a duty God has not assigned to him. If he doesn't stop talking, just watch out. It won't take long. This time I started doing Holy Spirit study. I said, this guy, God will soon kill you. There's a job he did not give you. That guy only releases a toxic spirit. Even though sometimes his letters are right, his spirit is never right. See, Satan will not come to give you a wrong spirit telling you, I want to destroy you. He will always give you your own interest. See, when an angry person is talking, the last time I saw Pastor Delva, if you remember, when we went to the hotel, okay, when I drove, he said it was good I drove him. Because from that place to the hotel, and those who followed us will have wondered, for 30 minutes after we parked, we didn't come down. We're talking. He said, I just came from a program. You knew where I was coming from. And one man preached before him. Preached. You could feel the bitterness. A preacher. He said, when they finally called him out to preach, he said all he could do was sing. His spirit could not share a word. Just led in worship, said one or two things, and he said to me, Banky, you have work to do. I said, sir, I'm aware. that same Mazi spirit, a preacher drank it, mounted the pulpit in Nsukka, and vomited to the gathering of students. Every spirit you drink has been judged. Ask yourself, what kind of judgment? See, that spirit of rebellion always meets with sudden premature death, violent death, which you will not like. If you remember that time I said here, when this thing was getting hot, IPOB matters here, I said, you don't understand. They are trying to... You see, let me tell you about Satan. Satan doesn't like you. He comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. He doesn't like you. He looks for what will sound good to you. He will tell it to you so he can destroy you. And in case you do not know, what those boys did to this region is a small thing compared to what Satan planned. As if he let this thing run riot, Rwanda said to be child's play. Then we'll turn around and then start pointing fingers again. Because you see, you don't understand. A spirit rode in. This is a matter of testimony people gave. They said when apartheid was going to end. Now let me tell you something again. You have to know what I call echoes of accusations in the spirit. Like when COVID started, we heard the accusation in the spirit. Because, I'm watching my time. Talking before the throne of God. These men come to talk. So when Bill Gates and Co. They are not evil. I'm not going to say they are evil. But they were the prophets who saw what was going to happen. They said people would die rapidly all over Africa. That what's happening in Europe will be small compared to what's happening in Africa. It didn't happen. We prayed, God had mercy on us. People died, but not the way they thought it would be. They now said after that, there will be famine and there will be riots. Now when they were saying it, there was projection based on what they could see. But me, I heard echoes of accusation. We prayed against those deaths. It was mitigated, God had mercy. But we refused. When the riots were going to start, we welcomed it because many of us did not like Buhari. Answers. And that spirit of answers hits Nigeria. Southern Nigeria. And our brother, the one that's Attorney General, said to me, he said, Pastor, say it spreads so fast. I said to him, that's why they are called horsemen. They ride fast. Go and check. They ride one after the other. I said, the horsemen of death from COVID rode ahead. The one of hunger came after it. And the one of violence followed it. We fought the first one, but the other ones, we allowed them. Why? We've been drinking. See, let me tell you, this accusing spirit, don't drink, is Satan. Let me tell you, a dormant spirit, a satanic spirit will drink. Every day, you are not moving far because somebody doesn't like you. Because the government, these rulers. See, it's Satan that's destroying you. You drink of that spirit, you are going around every day, you are angry. You are angry with those who have never offended you. They don't even know you. You are that spirit, and I'm warning. You will destroy our household. Some of your villages have been wiped out. It's God, because of the spirit you drank. Criminals came, your young men have been killed, everything. And you are blaming people. You don't know that you're under judgment. There's crisis in Benue now. People say, what's the government doing? Government can't do anything. If you're in Benue, you better get on your knees and pray. And first thing God commands you to stop doing is pointing fingers. When did Bola Tinubu come into power? The chief of army staff, when did they come? I didn't know recent people. But your judgment has been going on for decades. And you're still pointing to the recent man. Can't you see something wrong with you? Why is there no peace on your land? Why don't you get on your knees and find out? People drink wrong spirits every day. And I'm saying to you, each of those spirits have a judgment written against it. Every wrong spirit you drink has a judgment written. That's what the Bible says against it. See, people stand and be spin bitten. See, you know what? I was telling you about when apartheid was going to end. They said those horses were riding. People saw them in visions. They felt that the killings would be plenty. And usually those killings, let me tell you how they start, just for you to understand. When kidnapping started in Nigeria, do you know how it started? Who can remember how it started? Expatriates. All of you got it right. See, I'm hearing words, foreigners, expatriates, yes. And for that reason, I heard a man say it. I don't see anything wrong with what those boys are doing. It's expatriates now. You don't know it's a spirit. I've told you what you accept in your heart. What you accept in your heart matters. As we accepted the God said, no problem. So the expatriates packed and left. The boys had their tasted blood. So they left expatriates and turned to rich locals. Then when they finished with rich locals, they said, money is money now. Middle level people they picked. Finally, travelers on the road. Then the headsmen learned from us. But we welcomed the spirit because we thought it was against the foreigner who came to loot Nigeria. God said it is evil. That's the issue. You should have just said it's evil. You should have fought the boys, fought everything. All of you in your heart rejected it. But then you accepted it until it got to a time in Benin. They were kidnapping for a recharge card. Yes. And what's the government doing? They said, these Edomites, they've come again. Edomites. Who don't see anything spiritual in anything. If you talk about the spirit, they say you are hyper-spiritual. Edomites. People whose works I will destroy. And it's not even hard. God said, I will let them see trouble that I will not help them with. That's when you will know that this life is more than meets your eyes. Be careful the spirit you are drinking. Don't let freedom fighters give you a spirit that will destroy you that they claim to be trying to liberate. When you know how Jerusalem, you know how God's judgment on Jerusalem was activated? Freedom fighters. They stood up to the Romans. The Romans said, good. Those guys, they swore. You know, there was one guy I heard of. I said the story. He told his, those men, they swore to show the depth of their conviction. They each cut off by themselves their little fingers to prove that we fight till we die. The Romans said, no problem. We'll oblige you. That's what Jesus warned. When you see the armies surround Jerusalem, get out. Her desolation has come. When the Romans came, they put so many battalions and surrounded the city and said, go in, kill. They didn't spare. That's why Jesus said, He said, blessed is the woman that did not bear. Say, woe to him that is with child those days. People say, it's not future. It's something that happened, literally. The Romans came in with their orders clear. Kill everything that moves. They slaughtered, filled Jerusalem with blood. They got to the temple, pulled it down. Activated by people with bitterness. Who said they wanted to fight for freedom. God leveled them, leveled the idea, leveled everything they stood for. And turned it to a city of Gentiles. Brethren, we'll talk more next time. There's a Gehazi spirit that attracts the leprosy of Naaman. There is. There's a spirit in the house of Eli that places a curse upon his descendants. And that is why many pastors are suffering today. If God gives you his word, he said the mouth of the priest should teach knowledge. Men should seek understanding from his mouth. When people come to you to hear the word of God, if you lie to them, your children are cursed. I know what I'm telling you. Don't drink any house spirit. When they are teaching you how to make money from ministry, run. They are ruining your family. Go and see what God said to the house of Eli. He said nobody will attain old age. If anybody attains old age, it's so that he can suffer and people will see that it costs your whole household. People don't know God. That's what he said. He said nobody in your household will. He said, old man, for where? They won't find. He said, if anyone lives old, it is so that I can punish him. He will be sick. You have all kinds of troubles. So people will remember that there's a curse upon your household. Why? Because you despise my sacrifices. These boys were sleeping with girls that came to church to serve. Well, let me not end with the curses. There are two people in the scriptures that God blessed their spirit. And listen, the Bible is full of patterns. David will say, call his children. Come, let me tell you what will befall in the future. And for a lot of them, he gave reasons. Reuben, beginning of my strength. But as unstable as water. You went to your father's bed and defiled it. Said, therefore, you will not have preeminence. You know the funny thing? Not one prophet in the whole Bible came from the tribe of Reuben. The whole Bible. Not one prophet, no king, no priest. Nothing. The Reuben produced. You think these curses are a joke? But like I said, let me end with the blessings. Because we'll talk about it later. You see a man like Joseph. When I read the blessing on Joseph, my body shook. His arms were made strong by the strength of the Almighty. Ah, the blessings of the hills above. And then the deeps below, the depths below. Oh, God. There's a blessing of Job. There's a spirit of Job. There's a spirit of Abraham. There are spirits like that. They are called the spirit of the righteous, made perfect. That God says, if you lose anything, I will double it back. Whatever you lose has only made for eternal gain. That's what God is saying. He's called the spirit of righteous made perfect. That he leaves a blessing on Abraham. That his descendant, thousands of years later, the Bible says that he's the Lord God, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in loving kindness and truth. Who keeps loving kindness for? No, thousand generations, that's what he meant. He blesses the generations of the righteous to a thousand generations. That's the kind of spirit we should be drinking. Let's bow down our heads. Let's bow down our heads. Let's give the Lord thanks. Say, Father, we thank you.